You know that we love our on-demand listeners here at Lutheran Public Radio. Now, if you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. in 2008, please consider making a year-end gift to help support this worldwide outreach. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and mail it to LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us as we approach the end of 2008.
Today I'm going to tell you how you can cheat easily in tests without getting caught or find out.
What I did is I took a rubber band, and I would stretch the rubber band over the textbook. Then I would write whatever I needed to write on the rubber band, very small. You can write whole sentences on here, and no one will have any idea what's on there. Take it out little bit by bit and just stretch out little pieces of it during the test. No one will ever notice. So, use it for anything you want. Cheat as much as you want. It'll only make you a better person.
Hey guys! Today I'm going to teach you how to cheat in an exam really nicely.
Just an example, a small example of the dozens upon dozens of YouTube videos you can find out there floating in cyberspace. Teaching your kids how to cheat. Kids teaching other kids how to cheat in school. Just an example, and it's highlighted by this recent survey just out that tells us that 30% of students, and we're talking about some 30,000 students that were surveyed by the Josephson Institute, 30% of them admitted to stealing from a store in the last year, 83% of lying to their parents about something significant, 64% said they cheated on a test, 38% of them said that they'd done so two or more times. And oddly enough, the study says as bad as the numbers are, it appears that they underestimate the level of dishonesty exhibited by America's youth. The study warned, noting that more than a fourth of the students who took the survey admitted that they'd lied on at least one or two of the survey questions. They're even dishonest about their dishonesty. We're going to talk about this study. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse joins us. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Issues Etc. is coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 3rd of December. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. After our conversation about this new study on American teens lying, cheating, and stealing, we'll talk with Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service about a new Orthodox leader in the Orthodox Church in America, the media coverage on religion, and then we'll talk about a new Anglican church body in the United States with the Reverend Canon Darrell Fenton, and that'll round off this hour of Issues Etc. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Diego. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Your reaction to this level of almost an incomprehensible level of dishonesty among America's teens?
Well, to me, what it says is that the kids really aren't okay. You know, we've been trying to reassure ourselves for the last 30 or 40 years that we can do all these kind of social experiments with marriage, family, and child rearing, and the kids will be okay. And now the proof is in that the kids really aren't okay. My friend Maggie Gallagher had a column by this title just today, and she, bouncing off of this study that you're talking about, as well as the one showing great increases in mental health disorders among college-age students. So the fact is that for whatever reason, the kids are not getting the adult supervision and the adult input that they need to grow up to be stable, productive, contributing members of society. And if a generation like this, once a generation like this becomes the core of society, once they come of age, and a significant number of people have the idea that you can lie, cheat, and steal as long as you can get away with it, you will no longer really have a free society in place. You're going to have a society where people are going to have to be monitoring each other much more closely than we are accustomed to. And it's going to be a lot more expensive and difficult society to live in and to manage your life in.
Something that's different about perhaps this generation is that these kids not only cheat in school, but they teach each other to do so on YouTube. And they openly publicize not only their cheating, but the other forms of dishonesty in cyberspace. Where's the shame?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, and the fact that they're not ashamed of it means that they don't believe they are expected to behave any differently than that, that somehow, whether the adults in their lives are signaling to them that this is okay behavior or whether they just don't care what the adults in their lives think, they are not getting the message from adult society, from adults that they care about and are connected to. They're not getting the message that this is not okay. Because the source of shame in a person's life is that you understand that you have done wrong, and you are rightly you rightly feel badly about having done something wrong. I mean, that's what shame is about. Shame is not about hanging your head and having low self-esteem and being and acting like a doormat or something. Shame, properly understood, is the a normal and healthy response to having done something that you know you should not have done. And every normal person should experience a certain amount of shame at some point in their lives because everybody does things wrong sometimes. And so I think part of what you're seeing here is that adults have become so skittish about saying that, look, this is wrong and you don't do it because they don't want people to feel bad. And I think the reigning view of raising healthy and happy children is that if people feel good, they're going to behave well. That's what people think about child rearing, that if they feel good, then they're going to do what they ought to do. But I think in some respects, it's almost the reverse is almost nearer to the truth. If you do good, then you feel good. You know, if you do the right thing, then you have a deeper and more profound sense of personal well-being because you know you've done the right thing. But the cost of doing that is that once in a while, when you do something wrong, you have to feel some shame about it. Somebody has to call you on the carpet about it. And we've had a whole generation of people who've been very reluctant to make anybody have that temporary bad feeling, you know, that short-term bad feeling that says, whoops, I've done wrong, I'm not acting within my value system, I need to change, you know. That negative feeling we have banished from our midst. But without that negative feeling, we end up with a whole lot more negative feelings, as well as all of the negative behavior and all the negative consequences associated with that behavior. So it really would be a good trade to have a small amount of shame and a whole lot more good behavior that comes from self-monitoring of the self. A person with no shame cannot monitor themselves, and that's really what you're seeing here, Todd.
Again, I read from the 2008 report card on the ethics of American youth. Despite these high levels of dishonesty, these same kids have a high self-image when it comes to ethics. 93% of the students indicated satisfaction with their own character and ethics, with 77% of them saying, quote, when it comes to doing what is right, I am better than most people I know.
Yeah, that's it. See, this is like Lake Wobegon, where everybody's above average. You know, everybody perceives themselves to be above average, and obviously that can't be true. You know, this is objectively not true. They have been deluded by their elders, and they continue to go through life being deluded. This is your next generation of Enron people, see? This is the next generation of people creating social crises that are based on dishonesty and lack of character and doing whatever you can get away with.
Okay, you said before that what's really at stake here, and I really don't think you're being too alarmist about it, Jen. You say that the future of a free society is at stake if we have this kind of dishonesty at the core of the American populace. What do you mean when you say free society is at stake? What is really at jeopardy?
Well, Todd, this was the argument that I made back in Love and Economics, which is the book that you and I first got acquainted with each other over. In Love and Economics, I made the case that in order to have a free society, you have to have a situation where most people, most of the time, do the right thing because they want to do the right thing. They control themselves. They govern themselves. So you don't have to have a policeman on every corner. You don't have to be monitoring people all the time because people are monitoring themselves. And that the more people you have in your society who are literally doing whatever they can get away with, the more you're going to have external methods of control to make the society run smoothly. And so the kinds of things you're talking about are increases in things like security systems and both in retail stores and at the airport and all of these kinds of things that show us that we are worried about our neighbors doing things to us. These are all expensive things to be doing, and those impinge on our whole level of well-being. They cost the taxpayers money, and ultimately you have to create legal structures around dealing with those people. And if you have a real extreme case, I don't imagine most of these kids are real extreme cases, but in your extreme case, what you've got is a sociopath who literally doesn't care about anything anybody thinks of them or doesn't care about anything but punishment and consequences and what they're likely to get away with. The literal sociopath is somebody you can't leave alone at all. That's somebody who's always out for themselves and always trying to see what they can get away with. And, you know, it's for sure, if the average student, or, you know, 70% of the students or whatever it is cheating some of the time, you've probably got an increase in the real, real, real sick people, you know. So all of that adds up to be a great cost to everybody's freedom of movement, because you got all these people you have to be keeping track of and monitoring all the time.
Well, the danger here, folks, is that if we've got kids that are this dishonest cheating in school, we've got a future generation of mild sociopaths who really aren't that smart. I can't think of anything more dangerous than stupid sociopaths. Folks, when you surf the web tonight, go to issuesetc.org, click on demand. You'll find a link to Jennifer Roback Morse and the Ruth Institute. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Diego. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason University, author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jen, thank you for being our guest.
You're very welcome.
Terry Mattingly will join us on the other side of the break from Scripps Howard News Service. We're going to talk with him about two issues. There's a new leader of the Orthodox Church in America. It's a church body. You may not even know that it exists, but it does. In crisis. And recently, in an effort to set a new direction for this church body in crisis, they elevated a new archbishop, or a primate, I guess you would say. We'll also talk about media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly right after this.
I used to lie, cheat, and steal. I used to lie, cheat, and steal. I used to hang around and beg for my meals. I used to lie, cheat, and steal. But that was in my younger days. I saw things.
Noted author and history professor Dr. Paul Meyer on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
I'm delighted not only to listen to Issues Etc., but also to have the privilege of being on the program from time to time. Issues is never afraid to take a stand on the thorny, vexing issues that clutter our daily horizons. And it does so in the name of a solidly based Christianity that doesn't flirt with fads or fantasies. Whereas some Christian programs sidestep ethical and doctrinal questions in our day, Issues takes them head-on in a fearless, responsible, thoughtful manner. Both head and heart are involved when Issues applies Holy Scripture.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a gift today. Donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran Church, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300.